I'm Joshua Simon.
I'm Sam Joe.
And we are
the SG Boys,
that little gay podcast from Singapore.
Subscribe and find us on Instagram at the SG Boys.
Okay, we have champagne in the house.
It's Christmas, darling. You know, we just wanted a magical moment.
Yes, I can feel that.
Yeah, we just felt festive today. Mm-hmm. And in case you're wondering, it wasn't me popping the champagne. It's our very extra special guest for today. I think the best way to introduce this guest is to start singing.
Oh.
Because one, he has a beautiful voice, as you all will hear in a bit.
That's not true.
It is. You could totally do like the night show on Kiss 92.
Wow. Yes, you can have my job, actually. I do miss Bali. But who is this person?
Good voice is number one. And number two, he is the biggest fan in Singapore of one of the best singers in the world.
Ariana Grande.
Fuck you.
Hey!
I just wanted to trigger this one. So I think the best way to do it is just by song. We'll let the music speak for itself.
Oh, okay.
Are we ready?
One, two, one.
All I want for Christmas is you.
And
give it up for Mariah Carey.
By the way, darling, it's lambs, not fans. We call ourselves lambs,
you're
darling.
You're right, darling. I'm so sorry, darling. You see, I told you he's a real stan. Like, he's a true blue stan, right?
We don't use that word in the house. You know who popularized stan? That word?
Oh, everyone. Oh, my God.
A clown.
I'm treading on so many eggshells right here.
This is
not
terrifying.
Okay, I know we got the right person then as a guest on this podcast because it's Christmas season and we wanted to do a fun episode of Mariah Carey because she is the queen of Christmas.
Yeah.
But we don't have the budget to have her on, so.
We did try. We reached out to Nick Cannon.
We did.
He wanted to host. Okay.
We did.
But we have the next best thing. Literally, your name is Mariah Carey.
Mm-hmm. That's my legal name.
Yeah.
That's
You're
right.
Serious?
Nah.
Is your name Paul?
It is Paul.
I had a feeling.
Paul. Yeah. Let's just go with the lie.
Why not?
I mean, right?
It is the illusion.
I do like Mariah Carey. I think that's great.
It's quite an iconic name.
And aside from you being like a super fan, a super lamb.
Right.
Okay. I had to quickly check myself there. What is your day job?
My day job is... That's a good question. I am actually a student. I'm a master's student. I'm studying communications and new media.
You may not know this, but Paul and I have actually been online friends for a while.
So actually, this was around the general elections period. You'll remember, they call it the social media election. Sam Joe was covering for, what was it? It was nomination day, right? For his previous employer. And there was
a
moment, who shall not be named, but he's caught on camera doing unglam things because the producer has him on live without his knowledge and he's just fidgeting about. So I recorded that and turned it into a meme.
The caption was like, me waiting for my Zoom call to start.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Because it was like during the beginning of the pandemic, right? And everyone was like still very new to like Zoom and shit.
Yeah, and then before I knew it, I went viral for the wrong reasons. Because there I was like caught on video, adjusting my hair. You know, I had to do my warm-ups, right? Mariah would approve.
Mm-hmm.
So before I knew it, I became a meme thanks to this guy. But you know what? I didn't take it personally. I thought that it was quite funny. And
I thought you would have a sense of humor, so.
I did. We connected online after that. And yeah, the rest, as they say, is history. And today is actually the first day I'm meeting you in the flesh.
Yeah, same.
I can't believe it because you've been so present on social media. I mean,
insane. Which is crazy. I mean, that's the nature of internet friendships these days, right?
There's a lot of love and electricity between the two of you, but I also feel it all connecting to the source that is Mariah Carey.
Yeah,
so
it was a vision of love, indeed.
Before we get into Christmas and wrapping up the year, I thought we should just do a fan versus fan. Mariah Carey versus Sam Joriah Carey.
No, I'm gonna lose. I'm clearly gonna lose.
Are you ready?
I am not ready, but let's go for it.
Let's just have fun, okay? And hopefully, dear listener, you'll learn something new about the Queen of Christmas, okay?
Is this trivia or is it song lyrics?
it shouldn't matter if you are the ultimate lamb. Okay, are you ready? This is the emancipated quiz of Mimi, Mariah, the elusive chanteuse.
I'm screaming.
Mariah Carey, Sam Joe, put on your glitter and give your all to find the right answer. You got it? Your all?
I got it.
Because the glitter. You will be tested on how obsessed you are with Mariah. Will you be hashtag triumphant?
Oh no.
Will you ride the rainbow and make it through the rain? Or will you get the lamb chop?
Ooh.
And get the fuck out. All right. Let's make it happen.
Oh my god, I'm so excited.
I will assign each of you a question. When it's your turn, try to get the right answer. If you don't have the right answer in 3 seconds, competing lamb will get to try to answer it, okay?
Let's go.
Okay. Sam Joe.
Oh no, okay.
As of December 2021, what is Mariah Carey's relationship with Jennifer Lopez?
She still doesn't know her, honey.
Oh my gosh. Okay,
screaming.
That was pretty easy.
Yeah. J-Lo, who?
Mariah, yours is going to be a little bit tougher because are the hardcore one, okay? Mariah Carey loves this legendary actress so much that she once spent $600,000 at an auction on a grand piano that was once owned by them. Who is this mystery celebrity?
It's Marilyn Monroe, darling.
Hey, that's correct.
Wow.
You didn't know that.
I thought it was Elizabeth Taylor, but it makes sense because she named her daughter Monroe.
Yeah. Ms. Monroe, as we call her in this house.
Yes.
All right, Sam Joe. Mm-hmm. At what age did Mariah Carey start vocal lessons?
3, because of her mom.
Okay, interesting. Wrong. Mariah?
Well, she's always been singing since she was a little girl. She never really got vocal lessons. Her mother just taught her. Her mother was doing scales on the piano one day, and Mariah just kind of corrected her. And her mom was like, what? Who are you to be teaching me about
opera?
Dude,
he's asking
opera?
For a number. How old? You're giving an entire dissertation right now, okay?
5 when this happened.
Oh no.
Okay, can I snatch back? By the way, I'm desperately flipping through this copy of The Meaning of Mariah Carey.
Like, I feel like she's never actually taken classes.
Okay, so
because she doesn't need classes, right?
The answer is
6 years old.
The answer is between both of your answers. 4. Okay, you're right. At 2 years old, Mariah Carey started singing, impressed her mom, but at 4, she started taking professional vocal lessons.
Did she?
Yeah.
Okay.
We learned something new.
I need to fact check this.
Sam Joe?
Was she actually 4? Like, had she turned 4?
I don't know. That was just what I found on the internet.
March 27th?
If it's on the internet, it must be true. All right, Sam Joe.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Your question. In school, Mariah had a habit of doing what? A. I'll give you multiple choice.
Okay,
A. Singing down the hallway to recess. B. Constantly sent to detention. C. Skipping class. Or D. Being a teenage drama queen.
I think skipping class.
Skipping class is correct.
Yes.
She was also then nicknamed Mirage. Mariah, which legendary diva said, yes, I'll be your godmother to Mariah Carey? Do you need multiple choice? Or?
No, oh, I've got gosh. It. It's the legendary Patti LaBelle.
Hey, you got a point for that.
Okay,
Sam Joe, your question. Nice falsetto.
Where are my background singers?
Okay, Sam Joe, Mariah Carey released my personal favorite back in 1995, which had deep cuts like Long Ago, Looking In, and I Am Free. Name that album from 1995.
Oh my god, you're testing me right now.
See, if I told you all the singles, you'd get it right. So I had to give you the deep cuts.
Long Ago.
I'm confusing. Okay, I think it's Daydream.
Is correct.
Oh my goodness. Thank goodness.
All right, we're almost at the end.
Thank
Mariah.
Thank you, Wikipedia.
Mariah.
I revised Wikipedia before on the way here.
My gosh.
Mariah, which of the following Christmas songs was not part of the original Merry Christmas? Silent Night, Oh Holy Night, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, or One Child?
One Child. She wrote it for her second album, Merry Christmas to You.
Can I just say I'm so glad that wasn't my question.
Oh, really?
Okay, yours is gonna be the most fun one. It's the final one. Okay,
okay, okay. Sam Joe. But we are still tied so far, right?
I don't care about points.
But we started with him.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It should end with me.
Well, we're following Snatch Game rules. Who cares about the winner? Okay. No. But Sam Joe, this is the final question. Sam Joe, this is the final question. Okay. Mariah Carey once hung up on this famous radio show host, then threw shade at them on her album E equals MC Square. Is it?
I know.
Damn it.
It's Miss Wendy Williams.
How you doing? Can I get a shoe can? Suzanne! Norman!
Cause they be all up in my business like a Wendy interview.
There you go.
I will hunt you down.
All right, good job to both of you. I mean, Samjo, you actually managed to hold your own against Mariah Carey.
Yeah, I know.
Biggest Mariah fan in Singapore.
I'm actually quite shocked.
Me too. Yeah. But in fairness, I got such difficult questions.
You did. I wouldn't have known. In fact, I don't think I've ever heard One Child.
One child will save the world.
Beautiful voice.
Christmas comes. The king of all kings was born.
Speaking of Christmas, it is, of course, Christmas season.
Yes.
How are we celebrating Christmas this year? Sam Joe?
You know, for me, Christmas has always been a secular holiday, right? Because I don't really subscribe to any religion.
Mm-hmm.
But as we all know, my number one holiday is Halloween. I really like Christmas for all these secular things, right? Mm-hmm. Like Mariah Carey. I'm there for the food. I'm there for the booze. I'm there for quality time with my family. So I'll probably be just going for gatherings with family and friends as far as the COVID restrictions would allow us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have a Christmas tree set up in your living room?
No. That used to be my family's tradition, like growing up, right? Like I would help my father. We had a Christmas tree in the storeroom and then we would haul it out every November, end of November, I think, and then start hanging ornaments. And I remember very clearly, like, Christmas in other parts of the world has always been like associated with winter and stuff. So even though we're here in like hot tropical Singapore, my father started like giving us this illusion, this mirage of snow. And so he would use cotton wool, kind of like drape it over the Christmas tree and like, you know, like it was our own little winter wonderland. Then we would go to Tanglin Mall because, you know, Tanglin Mall once upon a time used to, I don't know if they still have it.
They used to like have a little like foam, like to simulate snow, right?
Yes.
And when we were kids, that was the coolest thing. They'll say there's snow at Tanglin.
Yeah, exactly. It was a foam party, you know, back when it was still considered hygienic, because clearly now,
I mean, it's still foam. They could just make it like antibacterial and just put it in the air.
You would think, but the foam, the same foam that touches the floor and other people's feet and hands and mouth would go somehow, like would float around the air and
sludgy.
Then, like, yeah, it's a recipe for pink eye. Come on. Come on. But yeah, anyway, that's how I grew up. And like now, Christmas is a lot about the food. It doesn't necessarily have to be turkey or whatever, but it's...
That's more of a Thanksgiving thing, though.
True. But I feel like turkeys, I don't know why, but turkeys like borrow onto Christmas, no? I think a lot of our concept of Christmas comes from like popular culture and like what Hollywood shows us and obviously what Miss Mariah.
I was just gonna say, I'm guessing Pariah is gonna be watching the Mariah special because it's been like an annual thing now for Apple TV. So you're gonna be at home. Do you have your tree set up?
I have my tree set up. I did it with my mom. Like,
is it like a traditional tree or is it like an Ariana Grande upside down tree and it's all black?
It's not an upside down tree. I set it up with my mom a few days ago. It's cute. It was a moment. It was so I had moved out of my house like a year ago, but I've moved back in after the lease ended. And it was a nice like kind of activity with my mom. Otherwise, she would have probably done it alone because like, you know, like the gay son is always the most festive one,
right?
So yeah, I did it with her and I played some Mariah while we were doing the tree. Filipino Christmas starts in September, actually, once the Burr months start.
So I didn't know
that. Once August rolls around, the preparations start. My youngest brother is actually flying back from Australia for the first time in 2 years. So it's going to be a nice Christmas kind of situation.
It's a family reunion.
It is. The same brother who tried for the longest time to out me to my parents. But it's okay. I'm fully out now.
Wait, let's unpack that. What actually happened there?
As a kid, I've always been kind of, you know, flirty. So like anyone who sees me wouldn't be able to like not suspect that I am a fruit. He walked into my laptop when I was applying to college, and you know, college applications can be very personal and ask you about like your life experiences and like your most formative facets of your life. So he had chanced upon an essay that I wrote about being gay in a Christian family and how that affected me in like both good and bad ways. But he saw, so like that was his confirmation. For the next, I want to say 4 years, he made it his life mission to convince my parents that I am gay. They've just always been in denial. They've had suspicions even before that, but they just like shove it under the carpet because I myself wasn't ready to come out to them. I would just like, they asked me once whether I was gay because they found out that I went to Pink Dot and volunteered, and I just denied it flatly. I said I was there to support a very close lesbian friend of mine. I guess they respected the fact that like I wasn't ready to come out, and they also needed time to process it and get around it. Eventually, like they told me that they knew my youngest brother for the longest time tried to convince them, just to kind of like, you know, it wasn't done in a malicious way. It was more of a, aha, see, your perfect little eldest son isn't as perfect as you thought he was. Well, that sounds malicious.
It does.
But,
Wait, actually, it does,
but more in a sibling rivalry kind of way.
It was one of those like childhood tiffs, like, you know, I'm just gonna have a jab at you and kind of like undermine you in front of our parents. But not actually knowing the actual consequence of those actions, right?
That's right. And also, I just remembered, so like, because we're a Christian family, right? So he kind of wanted to be like, aha, see, like, does this complication deal with it kind of thing? Because he's very into philosophy, so he enjoys like these complicated facets of life. Nothing malicious. He's I would say we are not necessarily chummy, but we banter quite a bit about life.
Right.
I was 18 at that point. He was like 14. So, you know, a lot of immature sibling rivalry things going on.
But they eventually found out, right?
Yeah. How do you come out to your parents?
Oh my gosh. So I didn't come out to them. They they kind of dragged me out. So this was when I was already like post-uni and like working in PR. And so with my newfound spending power, I was doing things like traveling, right?
Okay.
So I had gone to Taipei for Pride in October. And what I told my parents was that I was going there for a food trip. Taiwan food is great.
I bet you did a lot of eating.
I did a lot of eating and getting eaten.
Taiwan sausage.
A lot more getting eaten than eating, actually.
Okay. So they found out that you were traveling quite a bit.
They found out that I was traveling quite a bit. And my parents found out that I'd actually been in Taipei for a lot more than just food. I had posted on my Instagram stories that I was at a bar, and somehow they found out. So they didn't confront me about this until the weekend before I was going to go to Bangkok. They confronted me and they were like, why are you going to Bangkok? And I was like, oh yeah, you know, to go food tripping. And, you know, I really like Thai food. I love pad Thai and basil pork.
Yeah.
My father was like, oh, like you went to Taipei where you ended up going to gay bars. And I was like,
how do you know?
Right. So in my mind, and this was on a day I was about to go to work. And I was like, you couldn't have picked a more opportune time to confront me. But anyway, it was all good. Like, it was actually very non-toxic. My mom was like, you know, we love you. We know who you are as a person and we accept you no matter what. But so it was a confrontation, not about being gay, but she was like, but can you not post all these kinds of things online? So it was more a confrontation of me being such an attention whore.
No,
and being,
I don't
so
think
unfiltered.
You, attention whore?
Well,
I mean, your only Twitter is like top 10 most tweeted person in 2021 in Singapore.
Well, I don't think it's about like attention. We have talked about this on the show before, where it is one thing to accept someone for who they are. It's another thing that I think a lot of parents, maybe in Asia, do, which is, okay, I accept you, but you don't have to tell anyone.
Right.
You don't have to like put it on social media.
Yeah.
Actually, you should just keep quiet about it. which I'm against because that is essentially shame, right? You're mm-hmm. ashamed of that. That's why you're not transparent or open, or even there's no room for pride if there's shame, right?
I have a track record of being very public, not just about like being gay, but in general. Like when I was in secondary school, it was pre-Facebook, back when we had like blogs. I had like a blog that I would talk shit on. I think my father would Google me and see that I'd been talking shit, because you can't just Google my name and not be led to everything about me. I'm not just Benjamin Lim or something. Sorry to all the Benjamin Lims and Tans out there. But you know, it's such a common name. I have a track record, and for them it was like, you know, like we accept you, but you know,
they don't want a call from their auntie, uncle who's gonna
they don't want to, like, you know,
and they're religious as well, right? So they're gonna have to potentially face that conversation at the pews at church.
A very important piece of information I'm leaving out, which I hadn't intended to include, which I will now because I feel like it's only fair to them, was the fact that the Instagram story which they had seen was of me at a bar in Taipei, which was BDSM themed. I wasn't doing it, but like they had seen like a person wrapped up in like ropes and leather behind the bar. To be fair to them, you know, this was what they were dealing with. So
it's pretty hardcore.
It was a shock. Yeah.
Yeah. They were probably grappling with it for weeks.
Right.
So.
But as awkward as that moment was, then now Christmas in the pariah household is wholesome. I'm hoping.
Super wholesome, yeah. We're going to get Filipino food probably, which is like my favorite part of every Christmas. And my father actually is a really great cook, so I'm really excited for what he'll surprise us with this time around.
I'm going to need some like recommendations for Filipino food because I've been like really curious about like the cuisine, like adobo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, adobo is great. Have you never had anything apart from adobo?
So there's this little fast food restaurant, I think.
Jollibee?
No.
Maxis.
Maxis at Far East Plaza, right? And they're known for their chicken, but they also have like a whole bunch of other things in there and desserts as well. I'm like, when I went there to just going through the menu, the lookbook, I was just blown away. I was like, oh, I want to try everything.
Yeah, it's really overwhelming, right? And if you go alone, like you can't try everything because most of it is very like, it's for sharing, so it should all go sometime.
Let's do it. And we need like an introduction. So who better than a Filipino himself?
Right? Who better than a Filipino Singaporean scholar?
Hey.
How are you, Josh? How's your Christmas gonna look like?
Christmas has always been a little bit tough for me, I think, because just like you, Paul, my family, very religious. My dad's a pastor. We all grew up in church, and it's not just Protestant, but like Bible Presbyterian. So it's like very heavy on tradition, right? So even though I'm Christian, you would think, oh, we're always going to have the Christmas tree up. Christmas is going to be a big thing in our family. But apparently it's not, because he's always working and my entire family will be at church. So Christmas in the Simon household, actually, very quiet. Barely anyone home. Like, I do miss going to church, to be honest. I think I shared my coming out story in season 2 and with the situation with my family. I think it's just best for me to stay away as much as I want to go to church, right? I really want to go to church because I miss singing the hymns. I think Oh Holy Night, like I recently listened to the Mariah Carey one.
Yeah. Of course, it's the best.
The standard.
Thank you.
The fall on your knees section is just so like, right? It's just so overwhelming. It gives me goosebumps listening to it. And when you hear everyone singing along to it at the same time, it's just like nothing to me feels more like Christmas than everyone singing together or caroling. Unfortunately, that's such a thing of the past for me. So Christmas for me will just be trying to stay happy, trying to be as upbeat as possible. I don't know if I'll be going for too many friends things, because here's the other thing that I've kind of realized about myself, because we're also wrapping up the year that we've just had, right? I feel like I'm hermiting a lot this year, more than any other year. I think at the start of the pandemic, I was still kind of fighting it. I was like, okay, I still miss going out to cafes and reading. I still miss going out. And now I'm starting to like really enjoy my space at home that I might slowly, if I'm not careful, turn into the Grinch in my cave. Like everything is there and you can invite me. I'll be grateful, but I probably won't go, you know, because I have everything here and that's enough, you know. I might challenge myself to be a little bit more jolly this year. I have downloaded Home Alone.
Wow. I'm not sure if that's jolly.
It sounded jolly.
It's one of those Christmas things, right? Where you watch Home Alone.
It's true.
Playing on Channel 5.
It's true. I know a lot of people have like, yeah, and Love Actually and everything. Like yeah. The Sugar Babes, Too Lost and You comes on.
I haven't seen Elf. I heard that it's actually pretty good.
The Will Ferrell movie. Yeah.
I've not seen that one.
Neither have I. Yeah. I've heard everyone like, I think I just have a visceral like reaction to Will Ferrell. I'm not sure what it is. Like I saw him in another show Once Upon a Time and he really rubbed me the wrong way. But I've heard Elf is good.
So I watched it only because it's one of like Mariah's like, you know, Christmas traditions. And I was like, what's so good about this? So I went and watched it and I was like, honestly, but I watched it.
Yeah.
Actually, Mariah's a great example for people like me who feel like Christmas season's always a little tougher on the mental health part. Because for me, Christmas has always been tough because it's like you see a huge contrast between you and everyone else who's like super excited and happy with their families and kids, you know, and everyone's super jolly. And then if you're not feeling that way or you feel like you're comparing like, oh, I wish I had all that. I wish I could do the big family feast and stuff like that, but we don't have that here. Then you start to feel even lower and the contrast becomes even like bolder, right? Yeah. But Mariah, if you read her book, she talks about this, right? She talks about how Christmas in her household was not as wonderful as we all imagine a Mariah Carey Christmas would be.
That's
what we see on Apple TV Plus, right? Even that song, All I Want for Christmas Is You, has come a long way since 1994. It wasn't so much loved back then. She had a tough childhood with Christmas, and then she decided to protect Christmas. She's like, I'm gonna do Christmas every year like it's an extravaganza and I'll protect it. No one's allowed to feel sad. So I'm gonna try to have that kind of energy towards Christmas this year. I'm gonna try to be happier. I think
the fact that she was able to come up with such a smash hit based on her childhood of having nothing and having her siblings fighting every Christmas, I think that's a really inspirational story that we can all take away and be like, you know what, like I'm going to reinvent all the shitty situations in my life and make art out of it and come out of this bigger than anyone ever expected me to be.
Yeah.
But I would also say, I mean, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer and negative Nancy.
And then goes on and does it.
But, exactly. But I'm going to do it anyway. But I think that there is magic also and there's power in like getting in touch with that melancholy. You know what I mean? I think some of the best Christmas songs for me aren't the happy ones.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's songs like Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, Blue Christmas. You know what I mean?
Oh, Silent Night, where it's just a lot calmer. Right? Yeah. I get that. Yeah.
But Silent Night and like also songs about like, you know, being alone and everything, because there is that acknowledgement that even though it's a festive season and that we're supposed to like, you know, be together with our families and have like a ball of time, the truth is like, you know, that isn't a reality for a lot of us, right? And I think that's okay. And I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm just trying to say that.
I get what you mean, because when I say like fighting for your Christmas spirit, right? So what I mean by that, for even for myself, it does not mean, okay, maybe I'll go to a friend's party. Maybe I actually won't. But even if I don't go, even if I just stay in my room this Christmas, okay, I'm going to put on my headphones and go for a walk. You know, I'm going to just get on my knees and say a prayer. Yeah. And that's it. You know, so
for your knees.
No, wrong. It's for your knees.
Yes.
Yeah, lean into the spirit of giving, right? Yeah. Lean into that. Lean into what sort of the core of what Christmas is supposed to be, you know?
I think it's also coupled with the fact that Christmas is close to the end of the year, right? And so that's really, I mean, that opportunity to like look back on
tick stock
the entire year and tick stock and like reflect. And I think that, you know, I actually get very emo about it. Like I'm not gonna lie. Like and it's not like my life is terribly sad or anything. Like, you know, I think I have a lot of things going for me. Thankfully, I'm very thankful for these things. Something about reaching that end of the year and knowing that, you know, you had your shot at this year. This is the next year. You're 1 year older again. What have you achieved this year? And I think that it's something, I don't know, especially in my adult life, that's something that always weighs down on me. Perhaps unnecessarily so.
Can I challenge you to view it instead of instead of asking yourself, what have I achieved this year? I want to challenge you to reflect on what you have experienced this year. Mm. Where even if you had your heart broken, for example, you experienced heartbreak. Mm. Even if it means you had periods of anxiety this year, you experienced it. And you, chances are, you dealt with it differently from how you dealt with it before, right? Mm. Because given the past couple of years, I think achieving in this pandemic already is a privilege, right? True. So think of what you have experienced this year that life showed you about yourself and the people around you in 2021.
I just think we don't have a choice, you know? Mm-hmm. The thing is that time is, as we know it, linear, and we can't really turn back time, unfortunately. Is there a song by Mariah about time?
Love takes time to heal when you burn so much.
It went to number one.
It did. It did. Her second one.
Was it her second one? After Vision of Love. Yeah. Was Love Takes Time?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that song was so early in her career. Both of us, like, really want to ask you, like,
ask me,
what is it about Mariah, like, out of all the divas, why are you so obsessed?
Why are you so obsessed with her? So, it's a whole tangent. By the way, tangent is a word that she loves using. You can go on YouTube and search Mariah Carey tangent, and there's a compilation of, like, her saying tangent all the time. But anyway, what is it about Mariah Carey that, like, makes me such a lamb? So, prior to Mariah, I had never really listened to pop music. I'd always been, like, a classical / like Broadway music kind of guy, because, like, that's the kind of music that my mom always played. So that was, like, you know, just my entire life. Phantom of the Opera was my original, like, fandom.
Wow.
Yeah. I was studying one day. I was, like, sec 2, 14 years old, and in another room, the TV was playing, and it was playing Idol Gives Back, and Mariah performed Fly Like a Bird. That song. Yes. She sung that, and I hadn't known of who she was at that time, apart from, I'd heard Hero, I'd heard When You Believe, but I didn't really pay attention to who she was. And then I heard her doing the whistle notes, and I was like, wait, who the fuck is that? Like, this should be sung at church. Why are we singing, like, lame, like, four chord songs at church? So I went to that room, and I was like, oh, Mariah Carey. And this was right after she released E=MC², and, like, Touch My Body, and I was super Christian at the, I'm still Christian, but, like, I was super, like, Christian at that point. Because she was my introduction to pop music, it was very difficult for me to, like, really get into anyone else on that level. Mm. Like, I would go on to, like, listen to other singers and really like their songs, but nowhere on the level of Mariah Carey, because, like, it's just that level of vocal and songwriting excellence.
It's your first, right? And actually, you know, it's very similar to my growing up.
Who was your first?
Because Daydream was one album that was always on top of the stereo set when I was a kid, right? Mm-hmm. And similar to you, very Christian household, and we were listening to a lot of chamber music, a lot of, like, Charlotte Church. My aunt had this CD, and it was a black and white wind blowing in the hair of this woman. And I asked, who is this beautiful woman? And she said, this is Mariah Carey. And I'm like, oh, Mariah Carey. For the longest time, I called her Mariah Carey.
Oh, okay. I love that.
And that album, of course, gave us Fantasy, One Sweet Day, Always Be My Baby, Forever. So that album will always be very special for me. Mm. And then through the years after that, it was Janet Jackson.
Right.
So I dove into Janet's music, went into everything, and then from there became sort of the gateway into pop culture. So
the
it was
gateway.
G-A-Y-T-E.
I mean, we had Janet for me. I had Mariah as well. Madonna, huge role.
Of course.
And then the Spice Girls. So with these women,
you're well equipped.
I think I found
you're well on your way to being gay. They were your sexual awakening.
I don't know about that, but I think it was just more of, like, The incredible thing about the three of us is we grew up with very strong women, right? Mm-hmm. Be it in our family or pop culture, we saw them as, they were already sort of the underdogs of the industry, but we instantly saw the gift. Like, you heard her voice, mm-hmm. right? I looked at Jen and I'm like, I've never seen a woman dance like that. And then I felt that way with Britney as well, mm-hmm. you know, and Madonna with how she's a chameleon. So mm-hmm. we were all drawn to these divas mm-hmm. who were often mocked by the press. Like all the other boys would be like, why are you listening to Madonna? You know, why are you listening? Why are you listening to Spice Girls? You should listen to your boy. You should listen to Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. And I'm like, we don't stand men. Yeah. So it's like, but we were drawn to that energy that was colorful, that was free. Mm-hmm. It motivated us because we felt like them, like the underdogs, right? Yeah. We felt like, because I always talk about video games mm-hmm. and how I would pick Chun-Li or Kitana. And
oh my God, absolutely.
People would make fun, the other boys would make fun of me.
It's and like, my Shiran Nui.
Yeah, from KOF. And then they would be like, no, if you choose a girl, you'll lose. So then it became my mission to choose the female characters always and kick their ass with it, you know? So that's why I think, maybe that's why I think a lot of us gay men, we're so drawn to the divas, the great divas.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh God, I didn't even think about drawing that connection to video games, but you're right. I always chose the female fighters because I thought they were more interesting.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I could totally choose like Ken or like
the one
Ryu.
Who shoots a fireball, really.
Yeah, I mean, but they're so cool and they're like poster boys of the game.
Yeah, but Kitana like, fights with a fan, okay?
Exactly. And like, and she's a freaking princess. And also Chun-Li, I'm sorry, she does an upside kick.
She never skips leg day.
She never, exactly. Wow. I never actually thought about that, but you're right. I once had a friend shame me for singing like Fighter in karaoke. He was like, oh, I don't think anyone actually would sing this song unless, like, you know, you're gay. Like, what's the appeal?
Exactly.
Like, and I'm like, okay.
What do you want? Wonderwall? Well,
yeah, but firstly, what's the, exactly? I mean, I love Wonderwall, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But, like, but Fighter is just on another level. I'm sorry. It's like, fly like a bird. She took it to, Mariah took it to another to the level. Sky, There's a reason why you were in another room.
And I transcended actually, into another room.
Exactly. And you drop whatever you're doing because, I'm sorry, but she took it to church. Okay. So not much of a fight there. But you know what I'm trying to say? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's something about these divas that really resonate.
But I think in addition to what y'all have been talking about, which are very valid reasons why so many of us like divas, I think one very important part of it is that many of us growing up, especially in our teenage years, dealt with a lot of unrequited love and heartbreak. And these were the kinds of songs that these divas always sang about.
Very vulnerably. They would just allow themselves to go there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So it's like they were singing on our behalf and they were singing what we couldn't. And many of them happened to also be gay icons.
Yes. And right? Also they were expressing themselves even when it comes to like sex.
Yeah.
Right? Like when Madonna released Erotica. I'm like, yes. Or Janet, the Velvet Rope. You know, to me, I was like, yes, you're owning your sexuality. Yes. You're owning in a way that where sometimes when the guys sing it, you feel like, ugh, ew.
Yeah. You know? Like, yeah, they always do it in a very objectifying kind of way.
Yeah. Right. And I'm not all men, okay? Because we also have men, like Bowie, which also like absolutely changed my life. Yep. Michael Jackson as well.
No, but while the guys were singing, you know, I'll never break your heart.
I'm like, yeah,
and
right.
They were singing like,
right. You were.
And they were saying this, I promise you, and everything.
I don't believe
you. The women were singing like, you know, you can't hold us down. Mm. Or it's like, I'm overprotected. You know what I mean? Or it's like,
somehow we just identify with that.
Yeah. And I mean, for me, I'm going to be very shallow here, but for me, a lot of it was also about the fashion. I mean, let's face it.
Oh, like, for sure. There's nothing shallow about fashion, honey.
But there was something about what they wore on stage and me being like, you know, that gay teenager looking at the TV, People, Us magazine and everything and going like, oh, why can't I wear that? Because they look so powerful and they look so happy. Mm-hmm. Like people are going to call them like, you know, an SLUT. People are going to call them like a BITCH and like all those ugly names. Like people are going to like slut shame them essentially. But they were living their truth. And I think, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think that even at that age, like something in me recognized that there was something so authentic and powerful about that.
Mm-hmm. We didn't lust over them.
We wanted to be them.
But exactly. Like when I think of like Mariah Carey in the jeans.
Oh gosh.
And
yes.
What is that, like the pink or white in the Heartbreaker?
Pink top, Heartbreaker. Oh yeah, yeah.
She is so sexy. But we're not thinking, damn, she fine. We're right. thinking like, yeah. oh my god, her. I want to yeah. do that. Like every time I would go to like the box office, the ticket counter, yeah. sometimes I'll just turn around and just start. Oh, we go to the toilet.
The toilet and start yeah. having a fight with our imaginary Bianca.
Yeah, Bianca Storm. Yes. We love her.
Story of Geminis.
Yeah. But if yeah. y'all don't get the reference, firstly, shame on you. But secondly, it's okay. We understand not everyone's a Mariah fan. Please go watch the Heartbreaker music video. It is iconic.
It's so good.
It's iconic.
Now, as we channel all the divas energies combined from Janet, Mariah, Madonna,
Britney, Christina,
Ariana,
what are our goals for 2022?
I don't know. I haven't actually thought about them. Paul, you go first.
One thing is to get on retinol. The other thing is to write my thesis and finish it.
Wait, what's retinol?
Well, it's this skincare kind of product that helps you to even out your fine lines on your face.
You look fine.
Do I? Thank
you. Yeah.
But, you know, the line from my nose to like my cheek is getting prominent.
What do you mean? Your smile lines?
Yeah, my smile lines.
You know what Tyra Banks does?
What does she do?
Puts Vaseline.
Oh, does she?
Yeah, I don't know why I know this. I think it's from like all those early years of ANTM, America's Next Top Model.
We celebrate your lines.
Thank you.
Okay, you look phenomenal.
Yeah, thank I would you. Say celebrate them. But don't forget sunscreen. That's the most
okay. important. Sunscreen, yes.
True. Okay.
Yeah, take it from me, like the older gay.
I remember last year, my goal was to find my sense of wonder. There's so much about the world that I'm curious about and fascinated by that I hope to, you know, I want to travel, hopefully, in 2022. That's a big goal for many of us. So my next year's one is I want to find my drive.
Yeah.
I feel like for so much of my life, I was always chasing something. I was always chasing some big dream, you know, and I was going 180 miles per hour. And then I think in the past couple of years, I've hit like a screeching halt. And then the world also went into a screeching halt with a pandemic. Mm. Really just staying in a very small space, spending time with just a few people, and that's kind of it. Although on the surface, it feels like I'm doing a lot of very like extroverted things, but I'm really, really coming into the introverted part of myself. So I want to find some drive. I want to like feel like, oh, I want to start a business, or maybe I want to quit my job and do something completely different. You know, I want that in my life, you mm-hmm, know? Mm-hmm. So that's going to be my goal. I'm not sure if I'm actually going to do any of those things, but I want to like be open to that thought.
But it sounds to me like you're looking for that big bang in order to find drive, but sometimes drive is like from the inside out.
It could be a quiet little spot that happens, you know? Yeah. So maybe I want to maybe find that eureka moment for me that will make me go, okay, cool, I want to go do this. Because there were little like glimmers of it this year, like when I wrote like We Are Done, like my song that I released this year. I wrote one song and I released it. That was
now streaming on Apple Music, Spotify, and where else?
KKBOX.
YouTube is also on YouTube.
Right. Yeah. But like, so that was me listening to that eureka moment, and there are I have plans for like an album, right? But I haven't really acted on it yet.
So next year will be your year.
Could like, be. You know. Yeah. And what about you, Semjo? Are we getting the long-awaited debut album from Samantha Jones?
Oh my god! Oh. Yes, it'll be about divorce, babe! Divorce! No. I'm not going to go for like an entire music album like you, but maybe I'll start with actually completing one of the goals that I had when I was 18 and I was just about to go into the army. I told myself, okay, I have 2 years. Before I already, I need to do these three things. I need to get my driver's license, which I did. I need to learn Russian, which I eventually did in college.
Hey.
And the third thing was to play the guitar until now. I actually don't even know my chords. So that's something that definitely is on the bucket list for me. And definitely, I think 2022, it just feels like the year, okay? Look, if Shawn Mendes can teach himself how to play guitar from YouTube, so can I. Okay, so can I.
So can Samantha Jones. Mm-hmm. Okay, channel that Alanis Morissette energy.
Exactly. I think another thing that I really want to do is I want to learn how to sew.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's so cute.
Because I have a few friends who know how to sew, and especially one of my really close friends, like she's actually helped me with some of my costumes before. Like, you know, when I dressed up as Tie Guan Yin, right? The Iron Goddess of Mercy. The T, not the goddess, in case you all think I'm being blasphemous. But she actually helped me sew my dress.
Mm.
It's not like I'm gonna enter drag race anytime soon, but if I do, I don't want to be that queen that goes like, oh, it's season 20 and I still don't know how to sew.
Even if so, look at Shangela today.
No, you're right. You're right.
But you want to be prepared.
But I get a lot of satisfaction out of engineering my own costumes and having a lot of control out of it, right? I mean, it's like, you know, you love to sing covers, but at the end of the day,
when it's
you
your own get material, a lot
more satisfaction, like, you know, writing your own songs and singing your own songs. So for costumes, it's the same for me, that originality and like being able to like control the different seams and the patterns and everything and how the fabric falls and everything. So I would love to, like, you know, firstly get a sewing machine. So if anyone out there is looking to get rid of their old Singer machine or whatever, please
pass them along.
If not, I'll just go on Carousel and get one. So yeah, those are, I think, my two main goals. And I think, I mean, there's also like the loose goal of like getting abs, but whatever. That's every year, and you know, we'll get there when we get there.
Well, I have a feeling you are going to achieve that, because you have your driver's license, you can speak Russian, and knowing Sam Joe, you put your mind into it, you're going to get it, okay?
Yeah, but I'm also a huge procrastinator, so...
You'll get it.
Right?
Mm-hmm. In time, right.
I'm not sure we should be high-fiving to this, but...
All right, well, all the best to our little goals and dreams for 2022. Thank you, Paul Jerusalem, aka Pariah Carey, aka one of the most tweeted
aka Taylor Swift lyrics bot
2021 this year. We hope you had a good time, and hopefully you can come
thank
back
you, I did yes,
sometimes yeah
I'm Joshua Simon.
I'm Sam Joe,
and we are
the SG Boys,
that little gay podcast from Singapore.
Subscribe and find us on Instagram at The SG Boys.
The beliefs, views, and opinions expressed on this podcast are attributable to its hosts only and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, organization, company, or individual.